God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And yes, let's carry on. We are in the book of 1 Timothy. And this is a book that Paul is writing to Timothy, his true son in the faith. He's writing it to him to encourage him to be the pastor. And remember, he had left him in Ephesus, and Ephesus was one of the churches that Paul had planted. And if you remember Ephesus was interesting because Paul went through it in his second missionary journey. He did not have enough time with them, but he passed through them. But then in his third missionary journey is when he actually comes and really establishes it. And this is in Acts 19. You remember, if you can read later on, you will see there's a story of where he goes to Ephesus and then he finds 12 disciples. And these were disciples of John. And he asked them, but which baptism did you receive? And then they said, actually, the first question is they asked them is, have you ever heard of the Holy Spirit? And they said, we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then he says, so what baptism did you receive? And they say that we received the baptism of John. And then he tells them, the baptism of John is a baptism for repentance. That means when John the Baptist was baptizing people, he was telling them, come, because if you have repented of your sin, you want to turn to Jesus, now I baptize you. So he was baptizing them unto repentance, to changing, so that they can change who they are, and they can come to that that renewal of life. But then he says, after he told them that they were baptized in according to John, then he baptizes them in the name of Jesus Christ. He tells them about Jesus because he tells them that the person that John was referring to them, and he told them that I baptize you with water, but one comes after me who shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John was pointing to Jesus. So because they believed in Jesus, he baptizes them in the name of Jesus Christ. And then after that, the Bible tells us that he laid his hands on them, and then he baptized them in the Holy Spirit. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues. So you can see there was the baptism of John, then the baptism in the name of Jesus, and then which happens when you give your life to Jesus, you're baptized into the name of Jesus, and then you are taken under the water and you come out. So that is part of it. And then also there's also the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So they are kind of like three baptisms. They are baptism of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and then the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now Ephesus was that place, and then Ephesus was also the place where he taught them for almost 3.5 years. And the Bible tells us when he taught them until all of Asia had the word of the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us that great signs and miracles took place in Ephesus, that in fact people brought all their works of witchcraft, all the things that they had of witchcraft, they brought them and they were burnt. And I think the value was so much, they destroyed all the works of darkness. From one place, Paul just taught from the lecture hall of Tyrannus. He just taught for almost, I think it's 3.5 years. And he taught, and the whole of Asia had the word of the Lord. And the Bible says great signs and miracles were done by Paul, that even handkerchiefs and aprons that were touched by him were sent to sick people, and the sick people were healed. Why? Because he didn't even want to move. He didn't want, because daily he taught them. Daily he taught them. Now, this was the place. Now, when he left them, he warned them. He told them, look here, I am leaving you, but ravenous wolves are going to come, even from among your own people. People are going to come and they're going to corrupt the message. And so by him warning them, he was now telling them, look here, you need to be ready. But of course, when he left them, it happened. That is why he sends Timothy to them. And so he says, Timothy, my true son in the faith, the reason I left you in Ephesus was so that you shall warn certain men not to teach any other doctrine, to command them. And remember, Timothy is a young guy. Timothy is just like a son. The Bible tells us that he was a beloved disciple, that when he met him in Acts chapter 16, when he met him, he was told that this guy is a good guy. Walk with him, go with him. And Timothy, an eager missionary, eager young guy in the faith, decided to go along with Paul. And Paul circumcises him, not because so that he can be saved. We've already spoken about that. Paul circumcises him so that he is not stigmatized by the Jews, because they knew that his father was a Greek, but his mother was a Hebrew. Now, yesterday we were able to speak about this commandment of love from a pure heart. And he was telling them that, look here, it is not about teaching of the law, but about understanding that the commandments of God is love from a pure heart. God wants our hearts to be pure. When your heart is pure, you can do so many things. You know, the Bible says, the heart of man, guard your heart with all due diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. That word there means it is the gates of your life. That means every good thing, whether good or bad, flows from the heart. Remember, Jesus spoke and said that out of the abundance of a man's heart is where either good thoughts or evil thoughts come from. That means that there is nothing that goes into a man that makes him unclean, but what comes out of it. Because when you speak, we get to understand what is in your heart. And anytime you need things come out wrong from your heart, you need to question yourself, what is the state of my heart? Because your mouth only speaks what is the state of your heart. If the first thing that comes out of your heart is to curse someone, or to abuse someone, or to speak hatred, even if it was unintentional, it will tell you that there is something that you have stored in your heart. So love, the commandment, the purpose of the commandment of God is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and from sincere faith. That means when we depend on God, when we go according to the gospel, when we are in obedience to the truth, what God does is that he builds us. He makes us, he works in our hearts. And the sad thing, which is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, for from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they see nor the things which they affirm. We also looked at slightly small about the purpose of the law. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So Paul has been very clear. He's trying to tell them the law is important. And in fact, Paul does not discredit the law. Even Jesus himself did not discredit the law. Jesus himself said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He says he did not come to destroy the commandments of Moses, the law, the Ten Commandments. He did not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. Why? Because he knew that it is impossible for a man by any human standard or effort to actually fulfill the law. You cannot do it. If you think you can do it on your own, you realize you will fail on one. And if you just fail on one of the commandments, you have failed in all. The law has no capacity to save you. When someone will say, oh no, me, I keep the law. Oh, I shave my hair like this. I dress like this. I walk. It's about rule after rule after rule after rule after rule. And you'll always be asking, is this not in the rules? Is this not in the rule? But if you understand that the law serves to show us sin, but then you now need to encounter the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is the mercy that God provides in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, the crucifixion and death of Jesus on the cross is a fulfillment of any punishment that arises from the law. anything that the devil has against us, the Bible tells us that it was nailed to the cross. Now, when you come to God in the understanding of mercy, you know that, first of all, you know that sin is a profanity to God. There is no way that sin will get you to heaven. Whether you like it or not, whatever you do or not, as long as you're living in sin, there is no way you're going to go to heaven. And the Bible tells us that God, the reason God does not hear our prayers is because of sin. Now, as long as you're living in sin, as long as you have purpose to continue enjoying sin, then you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Let no one cheat you. Now, when you understand the gravity of sin, then you can understand the mercy of God. But if you just come to the grace of God, to the mercy of God, without understanding the, you know, how sin is a reproach to God, how God does not look at iniquity, God cannot look at sin, how God's ears are dull because of our sin. If you do not understand the law, or rather the what sin and how the law points us to what sin is, then you cannot understand the mercy of God. And the many reasons why people abuse the grace of God is because they don't understand the judgment of God. They don't understand that God hates sin. And if you look at the scriptures, it will tell you Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means God has not changed. The God in the Old Testament is still the God in the New Testament. And people will argue, oh, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. Oh, he was so angry. He was so violent. Oh, people will just murdered and all that. There was no room for mercy and all that. No, God has a pattern. God is still the same. Hebrews will tell us our God is a consuming fire. Now, anytime we lose the fear of God of who he is, in the name of grace, we deceive ourselves. And the Bible says, should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? No. We must stick to the mercy of God. So the law is meant for unrighteous persons. It's meant to show us what is sin. And you can see all these things that are being listed here. And I want us to see what verse 12, where Paul tries to show us the difference between what he was and who he has become now in Christ. And this is a simple word where he said, I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. Verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, and to God who alone is wise, to be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul acknowledges who he was. And this is something that you must understand, that there is no one who does not have a past. Yes, we might not share it, might not be open to share it, or may not feel that it's the right forum to share it, but every man has a past. There is a dichotomy, or there is a distinction, or there must be a distinction between who you were before you met Christ and who you are after you met Christ. Now, there are people, and usually there are two kinds of Christians. There is a Christian that is converted in one day. What do I mean by that? That means that they met Jesus like Paul. He was Saul. He was on his road to Damascus. He was a blasphemer. He calls himself, he was a blasphemer. That means he spoke against God. He spoke against the Holy Spirit. He was one that was persecuting the church. He was arresting Christians, taking them into prison, killing some, persecuting some. He was there when Stephen was being murdered. He was the one guarding the clothes of the people who had taken off their clothes to stone Stephen. You can imagine how people were violent against Stephen. They even take off their clothes so that they don't dirtify themselves to go and stone him, whether there is bleeding or not. They want to commit mob justice. They killed him. And he was the one keeping their clothes for them and affirming what they were doing. He even asks for letters from the chief priests. Give me permission. I want to go to even other cities. I want to go to Damascus. If I find any who are believing in Christianity, I'm going to arrest them. And he was doing that. And God meets him in the middle of that. Now, the person who even is persecuting believers, he's actually a person that is zealous, but their zeal is in the wrong direction. They have a zeal for God, but their zeal is in ignorance. And that's why he's saying, look here, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. There are many people who are actually just ignorant of the truth. They are searching for truth. And because they have not found it, and what they think is the truth, they now persecute anything that does not agree with what they think is faith. Now, God is trying to show us that not everyone that we meet out there who is against the faith cannot be shown mercy, because God can show them mercy. It will only take the revelation of God, the insight of God, to know that this is a person who God has shown mercy, or who God will show mercy. But then, as I said, we also need to pray against wicked men, because not everyone has faith. In fact, he was telling Timothy earlier on that God may deliver us from wicked men because not all have faith. That means it is possible to meet these two kinds of people. There are those who have bound themselves to wickedness. They have purpose. They are going to destroy anything that is related to Christ. But then there are also those who are doing it in ignorance. They have a zeal for God, but the zeal for God was misdirected in the wrong direction. This is what happens in cults. This is what happens in wrong churches, because the people, yes, have a zeal for God, but the zeal is misdirected. And because it is misdirected, then they end up in error. Now, as I was saying, there are two kinds of Christians. There are Christians who were converted on one day, like Paul. Then there are also Christians who are also converted over a period of time. Now, think about the disciples. The disciples have been with Jesus all this time. And even he tells them, look here, all this time you have been with me. Have you not understood who I am? Don't you realize who I am? If someone was to ask, when did the disciples receive, got born again? Is it when Jesus breathed his spirit in them? But earlier on, he already tells them, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. But what you will see is that especially when people are seeking the truth, especially people who are converts or proselytes, people who are changing from one faith to another, it is always a gradual process of realization of the truth. And that is why, as someone who ministers to others, you must never be discouraged, even if you have spoken to someone and they have not accepted. Why? Because it is a seed that you have planted. Many times the people who give their lives to Jesus are actually, you just came as a harvester. There is someone somewhere who had already started to plant the word, plant the seed. And that is actually the work of the Holy Spirit through other people. And all this collection of events, it could even be God speaking to them in a dream and convicting them. And then they're just coming, they're just ready to hear. It could be circumstances that have just put them down, and they are just ready to hear the truth of the gospel. So there is conversion that happens in an instant, and glory to God if you are among those. But there is also conversion that happens over a period of time. Yes, you start to believe, you start to understand, you start to make sense. But later on, it is when it makes sense. Because in all this period, yes, you were believing. You're believing with your mind. It was a mental thing. But then also your inner man has not yet agreed. Your heart is still coming to light, until the day there's a light bulb that opens and you realize, you know what? Actually, I love Jesus. I actually want to live for him. I hate sin. I want to hate sin. And God has given me a hunger for his presence. God has given me a hunger to know him, a desire to understand him, to walk with him. And that's why he's saying, I obtained mercy. The difference between the persecutor, the difference between the sinner, the difference between that prostitute, the difference between that rebel, or that person who looks like they are at the end of their road, that person who wants to commit suicide, or this person who has lived an immoral life, and the saint that God accepts as his child and enters heaven, is just mercy. It is just mercy. The Bible tells us, wait not for the Lord's mercies, we will have been consumed. This is what David discovered. David discovered the mercy of God. He said that if God were to count our sins against us, who will stand? Do you think if God were to list all our sins, any man can stand? No. David discovered the blessedness of the person to whom God does not count sin against. When you come to Christ, God does not count your sin against you. That means that it is possible that your sins can be counted against you. Things against you, things that you have done. But when you come to Christ, then there is a blessedness that God does. That is the place where you obtain mercy. You know, mercy is you not getting what you deserve. You go to a court of law. You have stolen. For sure you have stolen. And all the evidence points to it that you are a thief. Then the judge looks at you and says, I see this is the first time you are doing it. I'm only going to give you 60 days of community service. That is mercy. There are people who just stole chicken and they're given life imprisonment because it is written robbery with violence. Now, these are the same people who came to the same judge. One received judgment because they deserved judgment, but one received mercy even though they deserved judgment. God granted them mercy. This is what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. This is why Paul says that, look here, I was in ignorance. I was formerly a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man. I was a rude man. I was an angry man. He says that, in fact, I consider myself the chief of sinners. In fact, it's like, man, if I'm to count myself a sinner, I was chief of them. And then he says, however, for this reason, that Jesus Christ must show his long suffering, God wanted to pick Paul as a pattern, to pick Paul as an example, to use you. God can use you as an example of someone who God can show mercy. Because if God showed mercy to a blasphemer, to a persecutor, to a murderer, to someone who hated the church, to someone who worked wickedness, if God can show mercy and make him his apostle, make him the person that writes the 13 books of the New Testament, half of the New Testament, makes him the one that plants churches in all over Asia. If God can use that person, he's saying, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me, first Christ Jesus might show all long suffering, that his patience, God will demonstrate his patience through us as a pattern to those, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. This is the thing that we understand. God wanted to show his mercy to us. And I pray that we come to that understanding. I pray that we come to that revelation. I pray that we come to that truth. And God desires to show us mercy. And may God show us mercy. May God show you and I mercy. May God show you and I the understanding that comes from God. because God is a God of mercy. He is a God of truth. He is a God of life. He is a God of favor. He is a God of grace. I assure you, whenever we come to God, let us always remember that God has never forsaken his own. God has never forsaken us. God has never abandoned us. God will continually show us mercy. God will continually show us his grace. And by his mercy, he is available to guide us each and every step of the way. May we walk in truth. May we walk in the mercy of God. You can obtain mercy today. It doesn't matter how far you have fallen or how far where you have come from. But there is a God of mercy. There is a God of truth. There is a God of life. I pray that God will bring us to this place of understanding. And God's mercy is available even today when we come to him for forgiveness. My brother, you are welcome. I think I dropped out a bit, but yes, go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let us pray and trust God for his mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We exalt you. We give you glory, honor, and adoration. Thank you that in you, with you, there is mercy. With you, you are ready to forgive anyone that comes to you, anyone that cries out to you for mercy, that you are available. Your mercy is available, that there is no one that you cannot change. There is no one that you cannot correct. There is no one that you cannot bring to truth. Just as Paul, indeed, he considered himself the chief of sinners, but you transformed him and you counted him worthy to be used in the ministry. My God, may you show us mercy, O God. I thank you for everyone that is crying out to you for mercy, that is depending on you, that Lord is saying that, Lord, I am here. If you could have used Paul, you can use me. If you could have changed Paul, you can change me. And anyone that is crying out, O God, change me. Have mercy on me. I pray by the blood of Jesus, the Lord, you change them. The Lord, you pour out your hand upon them, that you touch them this moment, that by your forgiveness of your blood, forgiveness of your mercy, let your mercy prevail over their lives and over their homes, oh God. I thank you for the transformation that happens when men come to believe in you. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone that has believed, everyone that has trusted, that indeed they walk in the newness of life by the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you. And I honor your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone, you say that prayer, just know that you have come to the life of God. Find a Bible-believing church. Connect to it. Tell people that you have turned to Jesus. And pray, read the Bible, attend fellowship, and God is going to grow you in the faith. And you're going to grow and grow in understanding. Thank you. And pray that you have a blessed, blessed day.